Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. It's May and Local and Community History Month. Now, what do we know about the people from history who have walked our streets and of the old buildings that we walk past day after day? We walk past and we take them for granted, don't we? And we don't really look at them. Why is the street that we live in given its name? Well, joining me now to talk about local history is Black Country historian Graham Fisher, MBE, and joins me on the line now. Good evening, Graham.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on the show, Clive.
Not at all. Thank you for joining me. Graham, now, how did you get involved with local history? Why are you interested in it? And where does all your expertise come from? Because you are a wise old sage, aren't you? Well, less of the old, but you know what I mean.
Especially my birthday, yes. So I'm getting older by the year, it would appear. I'm going back a long time, and I think there's two factors that played their part in my interest. And one was my interest from a very early age. For people who know me will know that any conversation I get involved with will eventually get round to inland waterways. And right from an early age, I realised from a kid, a very young kid, that when I was born and bred in Blackheath, and until I moved to the Welsh borders, I've lived and worked all my life within 5 miles of where I was born. You could throw a brick in any direction and it would probably hit a canal somewhere. They were all around us and you grew up with them and you either loved them, hated them. You couldn't be indifferent to them because they were just such a part of your life. I had to love them. And from a very, very early age, I got involved with inland waterways. And from that, when you go down the waterways or study the waterways, there's so many other aspects that come along with the territory. The industrial ecology, the wildlife along them, the nature, the various aspects. And so I became interested in that aspect of history. But I do distinctly remember something that focused my attentions to. It was my school days. And I'm going to be a bit pejorative here because I recall back in my days as a grammar grub at Raleigh Regis Grammar School many years ago, which is long since demolished, we had history lessons. And things were different in those days from now. It's all very interactive and very proactive and very forward-thinking in the current curriculum. But in those days, as I remember it, I'm going back nigh on 60 years, for God's sake, it was very much a case of learning dreary lists and having facts rammed in your head. And the very fact you're going to a history lesson filled you with dread because you know you're going to be bored to tears. Now, I didn't fully appreciate that at the time. Looking back now, I could see that, and I had some very good teachers, I'm not sideswiping those. It was the way we looked at history that was so dreary, so hidebound, so introspective. No wonder people got switched off. And I'm pleased to say that that's changed now. But certainly from that experience that I had, where I thought there's got to be more to history than this, I think that, and my love of inland waterways and all that with it, fast-forwarded my love of our local history onto another level. And as a little aside, I remember, back in the 60s, a fellow called Wesley Perrins, who is long dead, is a lyman, and he became the MP for our area. And he was a noted historian. Look him up on the internet, he's there now. And Wesley Perrins came to our school. I was but a lad, barely in my teens. And I remember him addressing us. And he filled me with passion. He was such a passionate man for the history of the area. And he was one of the earliest people I recall, there's been many since, who individually fired me up to think, what a wonderful area this is. I want to know more. And I was barely in my teens then. And if I've got to thank anybody as an individual, I think it'd probably be the late Wesley Perrins.
Well, it's not just me that this happened to then, because it happened to you in the sense that the way in which I was taught history. Now, I'm 54, and I'm of that era where we did the Tudors, the Stuarts, King Henry VIII, and all his infidelious actions. The Napoleonic War, Nelson, and it kind of stopped after that. And that's all well and good, but I wanted to know more about what I would call sort of postmodern history, sort of, you know, so we're talking from the reign of Queen Victoria up to the present day, but also local history, you know, where I was growing up. So I think that must have been a thing, you know, in schools and in the education system at that time. Now, of course, we've got Local and Community History Month. What was it set up to achieve, Graham?
Local communities. It was the an animal called the. Incidentally, I agree with everything you say about the cartoon.
It's a generation thing.
I'm a little bit ahead of you. Still got my own hair and my own teeth, but I was.
I've got my own hair, but somebody else's teeth, and we don't know who.
And I recall exactly as you say that it was very sort of dare I say empire focused.
Yes, it was.
We're still in the dregs of empire, and I'm not going to be knocking or saying anything about empire per se. Mm-hmm. But it was a fact that we seemed to be empire-centric, where we had no inkling in the curriculum about the Indochina situation, the Israeli conflict that's been going on since 1948, so mm-hmm. which has been school. The Black Lives Matter campaign has recently focused attention on the fact there was a lot of black people and ethnic minorities involved in our history. South African campaigns, the campaigns in the Americas. There's so much that was missed out, and I suspect it was basically because we were still at that time when you and I were in the first flush of youth. Mm-hmm. Much empire-centric, and I'm pleased to see that's changing now. Not that I'm knocking empire, or but I'm passing no comment on that.
No, fair enough.
I don't want to be judgmental. Other people can do that. But I think it is an observable fact that in our school days, when we had grammar schools, I went to a grammar school, and the purpose of those was to educate people to be administrators of an empire that no longer existed. Sure. That's why grammar schools went. Whether that was good or bad, but that is the fact. And I agree with entirely that our perception of history was much more limited than it is now, which is why Local and Community History Month is such a breath of fresh air. And as I understand it, it was set up a few years ago by an animal called the Historical Association, which is a charity that's under Royal Charter, so it's all completely bona fide. And it created the Local and History Community Month. Mm-hmm. And its aim was originally, and still is, I believe, to support the education of history and for the general public and all the good people out there to enjoy learning about the history of the local area. And that is crucial to the raison d'etre behind this. I mean, for God's sake, we've got a machine on Mars now. That's going round digging holes in the ground and sending us stuff back over millions of miles about a land that we've never seen. It's been 50 years since we landed on the moon. We know more about the moon and Mars than what is underneath our own feet in the back end of Tipton right now.
And that's key, isn't it? Because if we don't keep that knowledge alive, it will be lost, and
absolutely.
It will be irretrievable.
Absolutely correct, and we are tending to one cannot soar with the eagles with the wings of a wren, as they say. So I have got no problem with the aspirations to look to wider spheres like the moon and Mars, etc. But let us not lose sight of the fact there's millions of people walking around right now or sitting in their homes who haven't got a clue what's beneath their floorboards.
True.
Just 5 meters down. We've never explored that. And the area, the Black Country in particular, is so rich in history within our grasp that it will be criminal to let it go. It is our roots. And the raison d'etre behind this is that, from my perspective, I've always been keen to say that whilst we fan the flames for the future, we must not ignore the embers that are keeping it going from the past. And I equate this, Clive, with, this is sounding horribly philosophical now, but it's quite straightforward. Imagine the mighty oak.
Mm-hmm.
Which must flower and flourish and develop new leaves and go forward to survive. It cannot do that without a root system. And the root system of this mighty oak is our history. If we look at our history, the roots of the oak, We need to fan the embers of that history in order to grow. Now, it has to be a balance. We cannot just blithely go ahead and lose sight of our roots because we'll wither on the vine. We cannot just concentrate on our roots because there'll be no forward growth. And I use that sort of simple analogy of the growing tree, where we have to balance what is beneath the ground and in our history with using that to take us forward.
So
As Joe Santayana said, if we do not learn from history, we're condemned to repeat the mistakes.
True. Now, this is where Local History Month comes in. What happens during the month, and what do people do?
Anything and everything concerned with history. If there's anything there that can be used as a fulcrum to preserve our history in any regard, then Local Community History Month will encourage people to develop that, whatever it is. For example, a couple of years ago, there was a push made to preserve and protect RAF air bases, where my other half, who's a cartographer, is currently mapping every single air base for a company who want to promote this that's ever been on planet England.
Right.
Now, some of Sainsbury's shops and Tesco car parks, they may have gone, but she has been commissioned to record every single air base so we can use that as a focus as to our effort in the World Wars and our progress in the fields of aviation. And there is now a database and displays and galleries especially made for the occasion with exhibits including themes like postcards through time. But the aspects of genealogy, researching your own family, which is becoming more and more popular now. Where did we come from? There's television programs. Who do you think you are? There's all manner of aspects of things from the past, personal and organizational and collective, that the History Month seeks to encourage people to get involved in pursuing.
Now, we were talking about history in schools at the beginning. What is your view on how history is taught in schools today?
Oh, crikey, it's a world of difference from our day, Clive. I've seen it firsthand. I do a lot of school visits where I'm invited into schools. And to all the teachers out there, God bless you.
I'll second that.
It's wonderful what they do. But to be fair to the teachers, they are teaching history as a general subject. Now, if they have something on the curriculum like a little while ago, it was coracles from Roman Britain, and I happen to be one of the last coracle builders still practicing. more recently, it's been... actually inland waterways and the Industrial Revolution, all of which I feel quite competent to speak on. And if they realise they've got somebody out there who has got a more specialist knowledge, they've got a general knowledge in history, but there's people out there with sort of specialist knowledge like I may claim to have, they are dragging me in with open arms to come and talk to the kids. They just love it, and the kids love it. And a lot of this is down to modern technology, television, and of course the internet.
But also the way you deliver that orally, whether it's you going in as a guest speaker or it's their teacher in their school, the skill is how you deliver that. You can have all the audiovisual aids you like under the sun, but if you don't have that passion and you're standing in front of a class of children, then you might as well go and talk to the light fittings or something.
You might as well put a tape recorder on, yes. The technology's there, the social media, email, technology, everything that's happened since you and I were kids, in the last 25 years, has done wonders to make things like, and everything else as well, from online shopping upwards. But there's so many aspects, including local history, genealogy, trace my family, Look at my history. What's under my feet? What's around the corner from where I live? What was my family doing in the Civil War? There's so much there that is now available that wasn't before, with that lengthy, detailed, back-breaking research that is now easily accessible. That this is the way forward. It's been a breath of fresh air how technology has helped us. Today, it is there to help us. The one crucial factor is the teacher or the speaker who stands there and relates the tales. It's one thing having algorithmically based inductive learning. It's another having somebody there who says, this is how it was. And even better, this is how it was, I know, because I was there. You could tell the tale. There's a difference between sympathy to a situation where you can recognize what's going on and empathy with a situation where you feel you're involved. And the difference is the human element, which you will never replace.
How can we go about making initial inquiries to find out more about our local area? Where's a good place to start? Perhaps if we're not internet users, for example. I mean, the lion's share of people are, but not everybody is. But where's a good place to start?
We are so fortunate in the Black Country. We are so fortunate.
You know, we are steeped in history here.
Get on the bus, go down the Tipton Road to Dudley Archives. That's the first place to start. When you're finished in the archives, walk around the corner, just a few paces, to the Black Country Living Museum, have a ride on the Dudley Canal Trust trip boat into the limestone caverns. You can get a shedload of millions of years of history within a space of 200 yards down the Tipton Road. Similarly, over Smethwick, the Smethwick Archives, there's the local council archives, which is always a good place to start. But in our case, in Dudley, we have the Black Country Living Museum and
the archives.
Right next to the archives. Mm-hmm. And we also recently have been appointed a UNESCO Geopark, which gives us worldwide recognition. UNESCO, for God's sake, that's a worldwide organization. We're talking here about put us in the same bracket as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and Mount Sinai and the Texas Plains. We are a world-recognized heritage site. And I'd like to see, I'd like to see the media making more of that. But certainly, that's a good place to start. There is so many ways of scraping our history, right from archives and the facilities I've mentioned, the zoo, the libraries, such that they are now, unfortunately they're under a threat at the moment, the internet. I find a good way of learning a lot about local recent history is going into Mar Pardo's pub or the Bull and Bladder or some other local pub with the old folks together and just finding some bloke up the corner and say, can I borrow your pint, mate? I'd like to have a chat. Tales you'll get just by this living history, talking to people. But there are so many avenues within a short distance of where anybody's living in the Black Country right now that you can pursue your particular passion. And one thing that I must give praise to is the amount of local history societies that are crying out for new members. And how many are there? Well, I've been on the public speaking circuit, since I was about 16 years old. Mm-hmm. So well over 50 years. And I have never yet exhausted all the local societies.
Can you throw some names at me?
Amble Colt History Society, Worsley History Society, the foremost one in the area is, of course, the Black Country Society. Mm-hmm. If you're a Black Countryman and you ain't a member of that, shame on you. Join up now, the Black Country Society and the Black Countryman magazine. And that's the magazine that, if you get somebody coming over from Texas saying, I'm trying to trace my grandpappy from Tipton, the first place they'll be referred to is the Black Country Society. And they publish a very learned journal every quarter. Of learned historical stuff. They have archives going back to the 60s, 70s. and they are a huge resource of local information. Then you have local publications like the Black Country Bugle, the Village Voice, which is a nice little outlet for items of note you can pursue. There's so many outlets for learning more. And certainly, I think it's fair to say that in all the years I've been on the public speaking circuit, I've never exhausted all the local history societies. It's people call me at wanting talks and presentations that I've never heard of. There's scores of them, scores and scores and scores.
And I think the fact that there are scores of them demonstrates that there is that passion for keeping local history alive, as we've been saying earlier on, because otherwise, if there wasn't, they would sort of, you know, disappear, I suppose.
That's absolutely right. They're always calling out for new blood. Most of them have got internet facilities now. Some of them haven't. Some of them have got quite an aging membership, unfortunately, and they're crying out for new blood. So here's a call on their behalf. If anybody's got a few technical skills, they could do a simple website for some of these people, and they welcome it.
Sure.
And I feel that there is scope there for some sort of promotion, publicity, to advertise and promote these people to attract members. But where is that? What do we do with Ayrshire? Oh, this is a beam of body. You got me on a soapbox now.
I am mindful of the time, and we are up against it. But one thing I wanted to ask you was, do you know if there are any or what activities are taking place in the Black Country during Local Community and History Month?
There's all sorts going on. There's the Black Country Festival. There's an announcement coming on that soon. There's the Black Country History Day, which was the brainchild of Steve Edwards back in 2013. There's all manner of festivals coming up that will be advertised on Black Country Radio, I'm sure. Excuse me. And all of these will be in the local press. And the idea is to get everybody to research and read and share information, raise awareness about the history of communities and their local areas, to hold events. There's a call to actually get people to hold their own events and to promote and advertise anything to do with heritage and historical concern. But what I was going to do before, I appreciate the time is short, but I wanted to mention the fact that what's going on in the Black Country, we need I've been banging on for years about a coordinated look at our history. Mm-hmm. Now, we have, just off the top of my head, briefly, we've got the Black Country Living Museum, I mentioned, Dudley Canal Trust, the Limestone Caverns, we're in a UNESCO park, we've got the Tektron buildings at Dudley Zoo, we've got the zoo. We've got the Waterways Network, we've got the Crooked House, the Glen Arms, we've got the coal mines, we've got all sorts, we've got the Stourbridge. I'm a trustee of the British Glass Foundation, we're building a brand new world-class glass museum in Wordsley. We've got the Red House Glass Cone directly opposite us, we've got the Glass Quarter itself, the Ruskin Centre, we've got all the facilities around the area, and smack in the middle, right by a canal, we've got a top-notch hotel where people can stay the weekend. Now, we're busily plugging these individually. I would like to see a concerted effort of a tourist trail where people come from all over the globe to the Black Country to visit everything we've got to offer within a five-mile radius, stay in a hotel, have a great weekend, and see what makes us great.
Superb. Graham, you're always a fount of knowledge to talk to, and I've enjoyed chatting with you. I wish we could go on for longer, but we'll revisit this at some point again and we'll get you back on the programme. But Graham Fisher, MBE, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
Pleasure entirely mine, and thank you. God bless you.
Not at all. God bless you. Talk to you soon, Graham. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.